Hello, friends. This is Brian Little, the host of the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you know, for the longest time as a podcaster, the question was always asked, how do you get sponsors to come to the table and promote their brands on your show? And I never had a great answer for you. Until now, that has been resolved with Podcorn.com, the online marketplace where sponsors and podcasters can come together and collaborate on your show. Everything from topical discussions to guest interviews to giveaways and contests, or you could do a host read pre-roll, mid-roll, or post-roll for your show for the brand that is willing to come onto your show. Get onto podcorn.com, sign up, send over your RSS link just so they know which platform you're using, and then you can start promoting your pitch to sponsors on podcorn.com. You can also follow yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. Every week on the blog, you will see the links for the show, and you will see podcorn.com. Or you can just use the internet itself and start learning more about how getting sponsors to come to the table and talk with you. That's Podcorn, PODCORN.com. Changing the game, podcasts, and for sponsors to finally collaborate. That is Podcorn.com. Sign up today. Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to Your Favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. And tonight we have another very special guest that has come on to the show. Super excited about having this young man on. He is a jazz saxophonist unlike any you have ever heard. And I will tell you that I've gone and done a re-intro, because earlier the one that I had was just too over-dominating. Go figure that my guest ends up sounding just fine, and then yours truly can't get his editing techniques down to a T. Thus, I've added some extra sounds in the background just to make it, quote, a little more authentic. I act like I know what I'm doing. But in reality, I want to make sure that this young man has been given the proper introduction, and that you guys can sit back and enjoy one of my favorite episodes to this day. And I give you Mr. Zach Sanders of Zach Sanders Music.
And we are clearing our schedule. We are rolling out the red carpet this week for a particular gentleman that has been gracious enough to join us on the Blockhead Hour. Before we start, I always recommend you guys go check out podcorn.com. You heard that earlier in the promo for this show, where sponsors and brands can come together and podcasters can finally come to the online marketplace and get sponsored for your show. Check that out in the news. Check that out in the blog page. That's all going to be there at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. You will see podcorn.com. Click that link. Learn more about that. As always, I promote myself from the Yogis Podcast Network and the Dose Leprechauns page. You can find that in the links. You can find that on the blog page. All that being said, now at this point, ladies and gentlemen, it is a privilege and an honor to introduce to you one of the best jazz saxophonists I have ever stumbled across in the podcasting world. This man, I hope he will consider the gimmick I'm giving him out of love. The gimmick I want to give him is Zach Attack. Those that watch the show Saved by the Bell, Zach and Slater and them have this group called Zach Attack, and maybe he'll stick with it, maybe he won't. That being said, I give you the one and only Zach Sanders of Zach Sanders Music. Zach, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, you bet. I mean, again, it happened by chance. You know, there are a lot of people that are starting to use Spreaker and other hosting platforms, and I heard you on another podcast, and I just thought that you had a really good presence. But I started listening to your stuff that was on YouTube, and man, I have a soft spot for any type of smooth jazz. So let me ask you this. You are living in Due West, South Carolina. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, sir, you did. Not too many people have heard of it.
That's okay. As I understand it, that means that's not far from the Columbia area, which is where you do a lot of your shows, right?
Yes, sir. In the My parents are essentially located in the Columbia area, and that's where I got my start. So most of my shows are done in the Midlands region.
Absolutely. See, that helps out a lot about just from the demographics and where you are geographically located. Either way, you guys can know, you can check this man out. Zach Sanders is who we're talking to on the Blockhead Hour. Now, Zach, I happen to have a soft spot for jazz music. I don't say that a whole lot, but I will tell you, I'm very curious to know where your story started, because I'll probably butcher it. So when it comes to jazz and being part of the saxophone, where did you originally pick one up? Was it in school? Was it something you picked up along the way? Walk us down that story a little bit.
My first time, very first time, picking up a saxophone is when I probably picked up my brother's. He left it sitting on the bed. I was like six, I think. I picked it up and, and tried to play it. Then fast forward maybe another six years, I got started playing at Alcorn Middle School here in Columbia, South Carolina, under the direction of Mr. Kenneth Cheeks. My dad played up until, you know, he's played growing up. He actually played in a group together, the Blythewood Jazz Orchestra. He played, my brothers played. So when I came of age to join school band, I picked up the saxophone also. It's like we had it at the house. You know, we're not going to spend money on a new instrument. We have.
Right, yeah.
Right. It's one right there. So I got started on that. And my first day coming home from band class, I told my parents at the dinner table, hey, I want to be a professional musician. You know, me and my dad, we're going to be in a band together. And I kind of stick with it from there. I've been pushing and pursuing music ever since.
Very cool. Very cool. So in other words, from that point on, eventually you're going to make your way onto the stage. Are there some stories you can start us with on maybe the very first venue you ever did? Have you played for some small venues where there was like nobody, maybe one person sitting there?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you have some big ones. Maybe you can walk us through maybe the chronology of all the different venues that you've done from beginning until now.
Okay. Well, of course, music has taken me a vast array of places. But my first venue that I played was a Black History Month program for Benedict College Alumni Association. That gig, I was referred by Stott Jerrell, a fellow saxophonist, Stott Jerrell Jones. And I got to do my numbers. I know I was coming out of eighth grade. I was like, what, 15, 14, 15 at the time. So that was my first paid gig. If we go back a little bit, before I was playing professionally, I was sitting in with a group, Blythewood Big Band Orchestra, and also Gene Dykes. And I was actually playing alongside my band teacher that I had just finished playing for middle school. And I got the invite to play with them coming out of eighth grade. I went to a concert and he saw me in a concert. He went to a concert. He saw me in the audience and he said, hey, young man, what do you play? And I said, you know, it went from there. So I sat in with them for about 2 to 3 years. After that first gig with John, everything was kind of like a wheel going downhill, a tire going downhill from there because the gigs just started coming in. One of my most notable gigs that I think stuck with me, I got to play for Al Jarreau. I got to meet Al Jarreau not too long ago, maybe about 2 years ago. Well, actually not 2 years. I forgot I'm not in high school anymore. Maybe about 4 years ago. I was able to play for Angie Stone about the same amount of time, 4 or 5 years ago, and I was able to share the stage with, I think, Ron Isley as his brother's watch about a year ago last year at my former high school. They came in and I came back down from Due West to Columbia and I did a show with the Isley brothers.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, are you hearing this, Blockhead Nation? This guy has opened the stage for many big name people. This is exciting. I can tell you that. Before I get into a little bit of your albums, maybe some of your chronology with those, are there any other besides people that you played alongside of? Are there any jazz legends that maybe you spent some time listening to their albums and perfecting your craft? Maybe it's you before you ended up gracing the stage. I kind of feel like I skipped over that, but are there some that we could be enlightened about?
Oh yeah, definitely. Most jazz fans that are, you know, active listeners of Jazz Fans, when they hear me, they say, "Oh, he sounds familiar. He sounds like Marcus Anderson." I've been listening to him for, you know, the past 5 or 6 years, and I actually had the opportunity to he his producer, his MD, Niall Hargrove, produced my debut single, and I recorded that with Marcus Anderson up at his studio in last May. He invited me out to come and sit in with him and show me how everything is done. So I've been listening to him for about 5 years now. Before then, I was a huge fan. I still am a huge fan of Eric Darius. And before then, the person who got me into smooth jazz itself and not just the world of jazz was Gerald Albright. I listened to a ton of Gerald Albright, hours and hours worth. You know, Eric Darius and Marcus Anderson included. I've done put a lot of listening hours in to be able to emulate their style and do what they do and copy their stage presence and the way they, the energy they put into their horns. Mm-hmm. But taking a step back before I got to high school, I wasn't even a fan of smooth jazz. I was only a fan of standards, of straight ahead jazz. So before then, it was Cannonball Adderley, Nat Adderley, Wayne Shorter, you know, of course, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, of course. And then it was Gerald Albright's 24/7 album that he did with Norman Brown, I think that released in 2012.
Okay.
The promotional video for that is a song off that album called Yes, Yes I Can. And I heard, I think, the first 10 to 15 seconds of the song, and I literally said out loud, I said, that's the type of music I want to play. And ever since then, I've been a smooth jazz cat.
I love it. And I don't mean to interject here just a second, but I think about how me hearing this, one, and also whoever might stumble across this podcast, I feel like we might need to have to educate just a little bit, only because I'm intrigued now. So you say there is a difference between standard jazz and smooth jazz. Could you walk somebody through who's maybe novice to any introduction of jazz on what the difference is between those two, between standard and between smooth? How would you explain that to somebody?
The way I would explain the difference between standard jazz and smooth jazz, standard jazz is much more movement, much more chord movement. There are much more chord changes.
Okay.
So as a famous jazz song is Giant Steps by John Coltrane, where Giant Steps goes da 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 da. A smooth jazz song might do da 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 da. Da 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 da, and that may be every chord that the song will ever hear.
Interesting.
So straight ahead, standard jazz has more movement, more quarter structure, a little bit more advanced chord structure. And from a listener's point of view, or maybe from a player's point of view, actually, soloing and actually having theoretical knowledge, having knowledge of the theory of what you're doing, the theory behind your playing, is much more important in standard jazz, because in smooth jazz you're not doing as much, you're not playing as much notes. But that kind of ties in directly into one of my goals as a musician, as a smooth jazz musician, is to bring a new flavor, a new type of sound to smooth jazz, so I can kind of mix the two sounds, where smooth jazz doesn't get seen as some basic art form, and straight ahead and standard jazz isn't seen as the only real type of jazz, you know, because if you listen to a lot of my solos, I incorporate a lot of straight ahead theory, a lot of standard jazz theory into my solos. They're pretty advanced. So that can be one thing that's the difference. And I mean, other than that, the market, the fan base, the venues, the type of songs, the type of subject matter of the songs, those can be other differences between smooth jazz and standard jazz. But I could go on all day about a subject like that. I could write a whole book.
Hey, that's got me intrigued, I'm telling you. And that I think that's beautifully explained. I hope, again, for the Blockhead Nation that's listening, or anybody else that stumbles across this podcast, the watercolors that this young man has between these two styles of jazz is beautiful. I'm telling you, I can kind of already picture it already just by the few songs that I've listened to him. Now, I have one question before we move on, just because I'm a history teacher, and I also have been involved with different types of music, but I've always had it explained to me, and maybe you can explain this better. I've had it explained to me that those who need to appreciate jazz music and blues music. You can go to, if you understand hip-hop nowadays, does have a taste of jazz from the jazz age that's there. And jazz actually, in many ways, originated from the blues, and the blues originated from spirituals. And I've heard people say, well, spirituals started in the church. I'm like, well, maybe, but then again, they really started in the fields. Now, that's where that's where I try to help my students understand that, is that if you can appreciate this music now, there's not a single one out, whether it's hip-hop or country, that does not have some origin either to the jazz or to the blues era. So, and I also had one guy tell me that jazz has a lot more. I don't know if you can disagree with this or agree. I like to know what you think. He said that blues is based more on like making a note sing rather than trying to squeeze like 16 beats into a 4-beat measure or something like that. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can talk us a little bit through maybe your understanding of blues and jazz just to enlighten the Blockhead Nation. I hope that makes sense.
It does. That was actually a perfect analogy. Where blues, you want that one up to sing, because blues is the music of sorrow back when everybody didn't have everything that they needed. So, you know, they kind of let their feelings speak through their horns, through their trumpets, their saxes, their voices. So through blues, it's not so much about technique and chordal structure. It's more about feeling in the heart, what's coming from the heart, what can be conveyed, what's the message I'm kind of conveying. So you can, blues, I can take three notes, and if that's all it takes to convey my message, then it's a killer solo. Long as I can convey, I have conveyed the message and my feeling, long as the listener feels what I'm feeling when I play that solo, whether I play one note or I play 1,000, you know, the solo is killer. When it comes to jazz, it's, you know, more about how many of these notes can I strategically place in this such and such order to get this such and such sound. Whereas, you know, blues, it's like, just chill, bro. just relax. And
it's nice to know it's nice to know the interpretation that I've received was accurate for somebody who is in the field of jazz. It's nice to know that. That's validation, but also beautifully explained. Once again, man, you're a very intelligent young man, and I can hear your intellect even just through the music that you do. That being said, we need to walk through the albums that you have or the ones we can expect. We have an album coming up this month, at least next month, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. March 31st.
March 31st. And what will be the title, and what can we expect with this album?
Galaxy. You can expect something that many people may have never heard before. When it comes to smooth jazz and the smooth jazz realm, this track is a mix of, I mean, four or five different genres: R&B, calypso, blues, jazz. It's a mix. It blends perfectly. It's a track that you can dance to, you can ride in your car to, you can brush your teeth to, the kids can like. You can play it at your adult parties. It's a track that's good for everything. And the full project will definitely be one to remember. Definitely be one that you keep in your Spotify playlist. You add it to your Apple Music playlist, and you add it on Tidal. And you go look it up on YouTube, and you look it up on Amazon Music, and you put it on everything, because it's just definitely, it's a nice track. It's a nice vibe.
I mean, honestly, it's going to be plugged a lot on your favorite Blockhead. The plugs for this young man are going to be used across every type of social media connection that I've got at this point. So I'm excited about this, and I hope the Blockhead Nation will continue to be excited. All that being said, do you have maybe a particular favorite song that you've ever done? Maybe it's on this album or a prior one, or do you have an EP that maybe we should be really familiar with?
I think my favorite song so far is actually the one that's releasing on March 31st.
Okay.
And that's Galaxy.
Okay.
I think that probably is my favorite song, just because I wrote that song after getting in contact with Marcus Anderson and his producer, Niall Hargrove. So the person that I grew up listening to literally for the past, you know, 5-6 years, I was able to go and sit in the studio with, and his sound that I kind of fell in love with, his sound from his records, was, you know, he did the same thing for me and helped me find my own sound. So when you find your own sound, it's actually your sound, you can't help but fall in love with it.
Definitely. Oh, man. Galaxy is probably one that's going to be used a lot. Maybe even the next time that yours truly goes back and does a live podcast to Dallas on Air, I might just use Galaxy as the intro music.
Oh, yeah.
I might do something like that, because I have had one other artist on my show before, and I've used his stuff where I can. So the next time I go live and I go to the studio, then Galaxy can be the intro music I'll use. And by that time, it should be out and available. So I'm probably not going to go until April.
Yeah.
So either way, I'll use that to my advantage. Now, to shift just for a second from jazz music into the podcasting world. Now, you've done at least one interview, but can you walk us through maybe some other shows that you've done in podcasting, or maybe some others you listen to? Because since you're on a podcast, I have to ask this question.
Mm-hmm. I did, I think Brenda, not too sure of her name. I can find out real quick.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I found it on Spreaker, yeah. And she mm-hmm. came on with you.
Brenda Moss. I did the Brenda Moss's Jazz R&B. Her podcast, did an interview there.
And she focuses a lot on music for her podcast as well, doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's mostly strictly music.
Okay.
Interviews, I've had quite a few interviews over the years, but it's like you know everything until your ass.
What are some other real fun interviews that you've sat down and listened to? Have you been something in Columbia area, or maybe when you've traveled a little bit? What are some good ones that you've done that you remember to this day?
I did an interview with Jonathan Young not too long ago. I think this was last month. And what was so fun about it, it was more of a spur of the moment thing. We did the interview. He called me and said, "Hey, I'm having a show going on. Would you like to get on?"
Cool.
Yep, Jonathan Scott Young is the name.
Okay.
He said, "I'm having a show going on in about 30 minutes. If you'd like to get on, I don't have any guests tonight." So I got on the call, and it was really no organic type interview. It wasn't anything mm-hmm. forced. So I was allowed to be able to, you know, really just speak what I was feeling, speak life, music, you know, and Zach Sanders.
Okay.
I had a really good time.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to really constrain you to it. It's just, you know, you had to jump on fairly fast on that one. You've been pretty gracious to meet me in the mm-hmm. middle on this show. Is there something that besides plugging your albums and plugging your social media, is there something that I haven't shared yet that you want to share with the audience that I have on this show? Since this one's kind of a mixture mm-hmm. of many different society and culture. I mean, I could cover Peanuts comic strips or mixed martial arts, or is there something that you also have a passion with that we haven't talked about that you'd like to discuss?
Something that I haven't. Well, I did just get back from hunting not too long ago.
Okay.
I'm a country boy living in South Carolina.
That is all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta love South Carolina. I love the outdoors. I'm actually a biology major mm-hmm. and I'll be looking to go to vet school. That's one thing that a lot of people don't know about me.
Oh, okay.
When I'm finished with my biology degree, my undergrad, I'll be looking to go to vet school and hopefully do some vet work in the upcoming years alongside my music.
Absolutely. See, there you go. You've got another dimension to you we didn't know until just now. Do you have anything you can discuss with us right now about that endeavor, about what that career is going to look like for you at this point? So.
Well, I hope to do, you know, maybe some like large animal stuff, some farm calls.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, that's kind of what I have a passion for, you know, farm work, agriculture.
Right.
Just showing in the modern energy. I'm sorry, in the modern industry of agriculture and livestock and cattle and everything else, just showing that you can have sustainable, you can have a in basic terms, you can have livestock that are treated well and are taken care of well. You can kind of put a new face to the meat industry that's kind of going pretty tainted.
Right. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a man with a plan. I hope you hear this. This gentleman has a passion on the side, but also he is going for a in-demand type of career. I'll tell you, large animals are what are needed. I live out in Texas, and everyone out in West Texas has said that the large animal industry, if you're going into any type of veterinary work, is the way to go. So it's nice to know that you have found a field that is going to supply for you, and you're going to be able to serve it well, it sounds like to me.
Awesome, yeah. And Texas is awesome, by the way. I rode down to China, Texas, over in East Texas earlier this summer. That's my. I love the big open fields you got down there.
Oh yeah, we do. We got continuous ones. I'll tell you. If you haven't, gone to West Texas, man, you haven't seen anything yet. I can tell you that. Now, to bring it back to make sure that we plug you properly and accordingly and adequately, can you let us know where we can find you as far as your plugs on Zach Sander Music from Twitter to Instagram? Just lay it out here on the line. We'll make sure that the Blockhead Nation can find all of them.
You can find me on all social media platforms on Facebook at Zach Sanders Music, on Twitter, again, at Zach Sanders Music. And on Instagram, again, at Zach Sanders Music. I'm most active on Twitter and Facebook. Okay. That's where you can find me. All my stuff is released to Facebook first, Twitter a few seconds after. Instagram a few seconds after, and Twitter a few seconds after that. Anything that you see me online, it's me. I'm not one of the person that hires someone to handle their social media. Right. So I don't hit my manager up and say, hey, can you make this post for me? So... Exactly. Anyway, if you like what you're hearing, if you like a song, if you like a request for a song that you'd like for me to post or record, you know, feel free to contact me on my social medias. Again, social media info is Zach Sanders Music. That's for Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Zach Sanders Music, Zach Sanders, Sanders Music. And that's where you can be update on all my most recent releases, videos, projects, and everything below, under, and in between.
Oh, and you know that you're going to be plugged quite often here, sir, because, I'm already a fan. And second of all, just because, you know, that's what we podcasters do. When we build up a community, we take care of each other. And Zach Sanders Music will be taken care of on this show. That's what I'm anticipating. Is when you bet, because once again, whenever I make my way up to Dallas on air for my next live interview that I do, my live video, that's probably going to be the intro music I'm going to use. I will wait until it gets released, and Galaxy will be the one that I walk in on. That's the cool thing, is when I go live, I can actually show your website so I can throw your stuff. Because right now, in the audio format, this is all we've got to paint a picture. Just like when you do use jazz and you paint a picture beautifully with your music and your watercolors come together nicely. Now, I will ask you this. I don't want to wrap you up, but I know that we both have places to be this afternoon. And I will say that every time I have a guest on, I always make sure that they have a chance to share with the listeners. If they heard nothing else from you, what would be the one message that you would send? Maybe it's somebody who's an aspiring artist. Maybe it's something you've learned the hard way in your life. Maybe it's something that you've learned in the last couple of days. I don't know. But is there a message you would give to my listeners, to the Blockhead Nation that's listening today? If they heard nothing else from you, what would you tell them? What advice would Zach Sanders Music give to the audience?
My advice to the audience, you know, aspiring artists and musicians specifically, would be to keep pushing, keep working, keep grinding, and just to keep doing what you love. If you're not, then it'll always feel like work. But when you're working and you're doing what you love, it doesn't feel like work at all. So that would be my advice. Keep pushing, keep your eye on it. You know, never let anyone else's goal or time frame affect your schedule or what your plans to do. Just do what you want, do what you have planned, do what you have a passion for, I should say. And everything will definitely work out, whether it's now, later, 10 years down the line. If you keep pushing, keep going, it'll work out.
There it is, guys. If it feels like work, then keep going towards it. If you love what you're doing, it's not work, it's fun. It's the same thing with this show, guys. I love getting a chance to have guests come on. I hope that I have been a gracious host to you today, Zach Sanders, because this has been a blast for me. I have truly enjoyed having you on, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I definitely enjoyed the show. I'm going to add this to my new number one favorite next interview someone's going to ask. So what's your favorite podcast so far? I'm going to say my favorite Blockhead.
Well, it's not a hard application process to be part of the Blockhead Nation, I'll tell you that. But guys, those that have been listening, you have heard Zach Sanders' music today, and we're going to promote the heck out of him. But just know, coming the end of this month, we're going to have his release of Galaxy. You can find all of the links that are going to be on the blog today. And also, if you want to help out yours truly on this show, I will send you over to my friends over at Five Finger Tees. Guys, Five Finger Tees have been an affiliate with my show since the beginning of the time that we started. They have the best pop culture-inspired, movie-inspired, ridiculously funny t-shirts that will not break the bank. Whenever you go to the link and you decide on what t-shirt you want, whether it's comedy-based, horror-based, or if it's based on your favorite cartoons, when you get to checkout, make sure you use the promo code 5OFF. That's all one word, all lowercase. FIVEOFF to get 5% off of your purchase from my friends over at Five Finger Tees. All these will be included on the blog every week. Follow me at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. And we always have the up-to-date episodes and Zach Sanders' Instagrams and his Facebook, his Twitter, all of his social media plugs will be on the show for him. And with that, guys, I thank you for your time. This has been Your Favorite Blockhead, and we will see you next time. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.